Brought to you by Tee It Up for the Troops. Divots can be replaced. Freedom cannot. Portions of this program may not be suitable for those under the age of 18. Parental guidance is suggested, but not mandatory.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. The most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
Sorry. I don't care if it sounds crazy and has a brain injury. He is funny.
We're definitely in support of those that serve.
Rock has two words of advice for you. Simply put, get ready.
There's a lot of nonprofit organizations out there.
I've seen a lot of stuff in my life, but that was awesome.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Business can make dreams come true.
The H-Train Show.
The H-Train Show.
On your butt.
Ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting from Colorado Media School here in colorful Colorado. And, you know, we need to give this studio a name. We're going to call it the Colorado Connection. That's what we're going to do. We're going to call this studio the Colorado Connection because we're connecting people.
And you're right in the heart of Colorado.
So right in the heart of Colorado, downtown Lakewood, here at the Colorado Media School. It's another episode of the H-Train Show, where here our only mission is to show veterans and our men and women in uniform all over the world that there are more programs out there beyond the VA. My name's H-Train, and our special veteran guest co-host is
Rob Williams.
Thanks for riding with us. Yeah.
Dude, you are amped today. What is your deal, man? You have a lot of caffeine today?
No. True story.
I don't want to hear that.
I think what it is because I haven't took him in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because of, like, the side effects. But because everything in my life has... I'm kind of in a dark hole.
I do not get that from you at
right,
all.
Right. So I've been taking my PTSD medicine,
uh-huh.
And I think it's helping. And that brings me to the first thing that I want to read. I posted something on my Facebook, and I want to read this to all of our listeners because, you know, just because, you know, I have a show and, you know, I've...
Women throwing themselves at you.
Oh, yeah, you know.
And, you know.
Well, yeah, just because.
Dogs loving you.
Well, I have a good life. I'm blessed. I have accomplished a lot of things.
Agree.
Okay? But the one thing that veterans need to know is just because you're accomplished or successes, they also need to know that, you know, you still have that bad stuff happening to you.
Agree.
And they can't give up. It's like the old, we had a sign at my high school,
mm-hmm.
that I don't know how many times I saw that, because in high school I was like, oh, I'm never going to graduate because it was hard for me. Got bullied a lot.
It seems like it's forever away.
Right. Yep. And, you know, the sign says, have a good day because every day is a day closer to you graduating. So I kept reading that, and I'm finally like, oh, finally it's here.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to read this.
Go ahead.
A soldier with PTSD, he fell in a hole and couldn't get out. When an SNCO walked by the soldier and called out for help, but the SNCO yelled back, suck it up, son, dig deep, drive on, and then threw a shovel in the hole. The soldier did as he was told and dug the hole even deeper.
Mm.
A senior officer went by and the soldier called out for help again. The officer told him, use your tools SNCO has given you, and then throw him a bucket. The soldier used the tools and he dug the hole deeper still and filled the bucket. A psychiatrist walked by. The soldier called, help, I can't get out. So the psychiatrist gave him some drugs and said, take this. It will relieve the pain, and you will forget about the hole. The soldier said thanks and followed his advice. But when the pills ran out, he was still in the hole. A well-known psychologist rode by and heard the soldier crying for help. He stopped and asked, "How did you get there? Were you born there? Did your parents put you there? Tell me about yourself. It will alleviate your sense of loneliness." So the soldier talked with him for an hour. Then the psychologist had to leave. But he said he'd be back next week. The soldier thanked him, but he was still in the hole. Another soldier just like him happened to be passing by. The soldier with PTSD cried out, "Hey," right away. The other soldier jumped down in with him. And the soldier with PTSD started having a panic attack and saying, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Now we're both stuck down here." But the other soldier just smiled and replied, "Dude, it's okay. Calm down, brother. I've got you. I've been here before. I know how to get you out." And I just wanted to read that.
Mm-hmm. It's powerful. And the picture that's with it is pretty powerful,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and I had posted it. I had posted it on my Facebook, on MBR, because there's just so much evil out there. And people need to know, number one, that if you find yourself kind of, you know, crying and you don't know why, look, it's normal. Don't worry about it. You're normal. You're going through what everybody else is going through. But if you need to reach out, if you need help, you know, reach out.
And honestly, it says that, from what I take from that story, is that the only ones coming for us is us. We have to hold on for each other.
Yeah.
We as soldiers, prior service or currently serving or whatever the case may be, you know, it's not our chain of command that's going to help us. It's not the other organizations that are going to help us. It's each other.
Right. So exactly.
You're turning knobs. Is that good knobs?
Well, I just want to make sure. See, I have to turn myself down.
Should I sing a verse?
I'm just trying to get our levels all low, because it almost sounded like you was kind of low, but I think we got it now.
I sing like a lark, Joel. You say the word, man.
Right?
Angels, cherubs, if you will.
Next music break is brought to you by. But I just wanted to real quick.
It's true. It's powerful.
Tell everybody about that. I will now give the floor to you.
I need a floor?
And I'm going to let you read off the itinerary so everybody knows exactly what's going on today.
So, right here?
Yep. Today's interview of the week is?
Today's interview of the week is Veterans Outdoors, which sounds like an outstanding organization.
Veterans Go Outdoors.
Veterans Go Outdoors, excuse me.
Sorry, my handwriting looks like a guy that just had a seizure, but continue.
And there might be a good reason for that. Well, I don't read English so good either, so you're good, man. Today's event, our tidbit discussion for today.
Yes.
When you and I were going back and forth about this before the
right.
show.
Right. So we got the Busch Sues, a beer company, Sues, another beer company. We got the soldier. He amputated something to, you know, vets helping vets. We have a third story also, but I'm not going to bring that up unless we're like, you know, running
I don't know
out
that.
Of time. Because ever since we've moved here to school, I don't know. I think, honestly, I think it's because football started and everybody's watching the NFL.
Yeah.
So we haven't really got a whole lot of participation off of Facebook Live, and that's okay. If we don't have a lot of participation and we have to fill the time, then we'll go ahead and talk about that third one. And I'll tell you about the.
You're just doing anything to not let me sing, aren't you?
Oh, hey, we'll let you sing.
All right.
Yeah, hey, man. You know, we might even let you sing the "Time to Shine" moment.
See,
you know?
See.
But you know, talking about the nonprofit that we're going to be talking about. I mean, you know, not naming the nonprofit, but I saw your Facebook. Mm-hmm. You recently killed an elk.
I shot an elk. I got an elk last Monday, as a matter of fact.
Yes, I saw that.
The processor. My first one. I was very, very excited. My buddy Brian showed me where to go and hooked me up and said, "You're going to stand right here. And tomorrow morning, elk are going to pop their head over that hill." And as he said that, an elk popped its head over that hill. And he's like, "See that elk right there? Shoot it." So I did. And now I have the back of my truck is full of elk meat as I was on the way over here.
Okay.
So as soon as I get off the air here, I have to run home and throw it in the freezer.
Ah, okay.
Now, I'm pretty excited.
So you straight came from hunting to here then?
The processor. So yeah, last week is when I shot the elk.
Oh, okay. So you got the cut up meat.
Yeah.
Already
yeah. Yep.
In your car.
Yep.
Rob, I'm your new best friend.
Yes, you are.
And I'm sure you have lots of new best friends.
Well, I do. You saw that I had bear burgers for lunch today?
Yeah.
Yeah, those were delicious too. I got a bear last month up in Glenwood Springs.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that was a fun 5 days. That was a super fun 5 days. So
nice.
I don't know if you know, Colorado is highly overpopulated with bears right now.
I've heard. I've seen stories on the news about, you know, bears breaking into people's houses and getting into the trash.
Yep.
Now, since you're an outdoor person and since you shot a bear, I'm going to consider you kind of an expert.
I don't know about that at all.
If you walk in front of a bear, what do you do?
Walk in front of him?
Like, how do you act?
So, if you're walking down the street?
Put your hands up, like, free?
No. So, let's say you're walking out of 7-Eleven. You got your Nitro Brew coffee in your hand, ice cold, blah, blah, blah. And as you walk out, bam, there's a bear standing there on the sidewalk.
Right.
I highly recommend jiu-jitsu. Go for the rear naked choke. Definitely. Don't forget to get your hooks in. And go ahead and rear naked choke that bear. Yep. Because if they're stubby little arms, they're not going to be able to reach back and not going to be able to get you off, and they can't defend the choke because, you know, they don't wear collars. So, you know what I'm saying, Joel.
Everybody, do not take his advice that he just gave.
You just said I was an expert 2 seconds ago, and now all of a sudden it's don't follow this guy's advice. I'm a bear jiu-jitsu expert, Joel.
But, you know.
Why is that not a thing anymore?
Jiu-jitsu?
Well, jiu-jitsu is definitely a thing. No, why isn't it that, like, anymore that you don't see, like, people wrestling bears and like, bears riding tricycles and things like that?
Probably because...
Animal rights.
You think that's what it is?
Probably.
Because of animal rights?
Probably.
I was just thinking maybe it's because... I wish we had an intern that could, like, explore, because that would be really great.
A Jamie.
Hey, intern, tell us how many deaths are there from, because I guarantee you.
Outside of 7-Elevens for jiu-jitsuing a bear.
Well, you know, I guarantee you that there's, like, a bunch of, like, bear attacks, like, statistics.
Oh, there absolutely
is. Stuff like that. I guarantee you.
I completely agree with you. Absolutely. So, but. Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing myself a bear on a tricycle with a hat.
So safety wise, like if you walk in front of a bear, like, because you don't run, I know that.
No, because they're gonna chase you. They're, right. Yeah. So no, yeah. From what I understand, the last thing I heard, from what I understand, you have to get big, get loud, and they're scared of you. So unless you come between Mama Bear and her cubs, you know, they're not gonna. I wouldn't expect that they would charge you. I would say most likely a bear is going to run from you.
Right.
So.
Okay. So, like, if you.
I haven't tested
so,
the
if you yell.
Get loud, get big. Yeah. I wish you people could see what Joel is doing right now.
Like, raising, like, hey!
He is hip hop hooray.
All right, everybody. It's that time. We're going to go on a music break. I hope you guys are enjoying the show. It's going to be a live one today. Make sure you share it with your friends. Tell everybody. Get on the horn because Rob's in town. We're going to go on a music break. And when we come back off that music break, we're going to hit Facebook Live. And if you thought it got wild now, it's just about to get even more wilder. So whatever you do, stay with us. Don't go away. You're listening to the show that highlights all the programs beyond the VA. It's the H-Train Show with Rob Williams.
Hi, this is Buddy Sostan, host of the Great American Podcast with my partner, John Piricello, and I am now on the H-Train Show.
Right. And when you're back, you're listening to the show that highlights all the nonprofit programs beyond the VA. It's the H-Train Show. And my special guest, co-host, veteran today is none other than Rob Williams.
Don't let him lie to you, folks. He was in line at Chipotle and he's like, hey, what are you doing tonight? Don't let him lie to you at all.
So
that's how they pick guest hosts on the show. Ooh, so, you got double chicken? Ooh, come on up.
So Xander couldn't be with us today. He's feeling a little under the weather, so we hope that he gets all that aligned and well. But here we are. You haven't been to the new studio. This is the first time.
This is pretty awesome, dude. You got a sweet little setup here.
And it's a lot bigger than the Railhead Station Studios.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I like it a lot.
Other than your and Brandy's on, so if we're too loud or we're too low,
I've never been told I'm too loud.
I'm sure she'll tell us. Well, you know, it's new equipment, so we've been trying to level out the Facebook Live so that people can hear, because either it's low or it's overmodulated. So we've been working it.
I've been having fun watching you try to play with buttons.
And she said that it's always low on her phone, so it's kind of crazy.
That's because you're driving and playing on your phone at the same time, Brandy.
Nah, she doesn't do that. She doesn't do that. Okay, here we go. So before we get into the tidbits, I gotta ask you, man. Other than your fighting, because I've seen some of your posts with the fighting and stuff, mm-hmm. and the hunting. Mm-hmm. What else have you been doing?
I'm getting ready to retire from the Army, so right. I've been extremely busy. It's amazing how much time it takes to actually retire from the military service. There's a lot that goes into it. You got to go through the VA. You got to go through the Soldier for Life program. You got to transitioning to becoming a civilian is a huge challenge.
Well, I know I wish I would have took more advantage of that. Oh, and we just lost the stream.
Is that good?
This has never happened before.
Damn Russians.
Oh, there we go. We're back on.
Are we being censored?
I don't know. We're online and we're Facebook Live-ing, and it seems that we're like going off and on. I don't know why. That's weird. That's never happened to me before. So what else has been going on with you?
That's been my huge focus lately is just trying to get ready to retire from the Army. I take off the uniform for the last day on the 1st of March.
Okay.
And then on the 1st of March, I throw my leg over my motorcycle, and I'm riding my motorcycle to Argentina, the southernmost tip of Argentina. And then I'm going to try to get from the southernmost tip of Argentina, and I'm going to try to get to the northernmost point in Alaska. So I'm trying to go pole to pole on my bike.
Okay. All right.
So that's been taking up a lot. That's been map reconning and things like that. There's a lot that goes into that trip. So. Testing out camping gear and getting everything ready and figuring out where things strap onto the bike, things like, well, you do this every day.
Right. Yeah, I do. Well, it's, I'm glad that you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
Good seeing you. It's that time, everybody. We're going to run into tidbits before we lose time. So here we go. Tidbits.
Tidbits, sponsored by NXT Turn Multimedia. Have a brand, but asking what's next? Contact NXT Turn Multimedia today.
Well, everybody's heard about the bird.
A headline regarding mass awareness of a certain avian variety.
What are you talking about?
Oh, have you not heard?
Come by and bring us some good news.
Tidbits.
Who the f- Family Guy.
I know, right? I know. Well, I never liked Family Guy, and then my wife kind of got me onto it. So now I watch Family Guy all the time. So
all about the subtleties.
Okay, so here we go. You've read the stories.
Yep, I did.
All right, so the first tidbit is... I have it on the notes, but I just want to make sure that I get this right. So Bush is accusing Budweiser, one of its disgruntled employees, I guess, is trading secrets to Bud Light.
Yep.
Miller Coors employee. He texts the Anaheims or Bush employee how much enzymes you're adding to Bud Light. So I don't know if it was just like how, you know, like one question or like there were several questions.
So as you go through the article, it talks about how he was giving out like layouts of the plants and things like that. It went further and further than that is what it sounds like. But even still, yeah, if you're, you know, in an industry such as that, and people are handing over your recipes and whatnot, it's like the KFC recipe, man. I mean, that thing's like, you know,
right?
It was closely guarded secret.
Or the Bush beans.
Yeah, see,
the dog Duke. Only knows the ingredients.
See, you get it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what is this? How does this relate to our veteran community? I think it shows that all beer companies should hire veterans because we have security clearances.
Well,
we
don't
keep
know,
a secret.
I don't know so much a security clearance, but I will say this. The three things that I guarantee when you hire a vet is 95, we'll just say 95.
Okay.
95% of the time, we're going to show up in the right uniform.
Yes.
And prepared. We're going to show up on time. Now, you know,
even a little bit early.
some old school like me and you will show up like 15 minutes prior, but like the new age, it's like 5 minutes prior, you know, like right on the dot, but we're going to show up.
Yep.
And then the third thing is they've got a really good work ethic.
Yep. Yep. They're going to work while they're there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason why businesses want to hire veterans. I don't think it has anything to do with the tax break, which I hear that there's a huge tax break for schools.
I did not know that.
For one of our marketing people that...
We have people?
Well, here at NBR, we have a marketing... I call him a genius, but he'll say, no, I'm not a genius. But his name is Jack, and he's a marketing guy. And he was telling me that when a business hires a veteran, it's like a $9,000 tax credit.
Look at me.
For that business.
Look at us. Look at we. I had no idea.
I'm worth more money... working than dead.
That's a little tax breaks us.
So that's crazy. Bush.
And we probably
sues
won't give away your beer recipe if you hire us. So.
Right. We don't have any comments right now on Facebook Live. We'll come back to it if we do. The next one, this, because you've read the article too.
I did.
I brief skimmed it, but you know me. I can't comprehend some things that I read. A soldier, I think it was a training accident.
Yeah, so what it was is it was a tank crew. And this dude, I don't know his name off the top of my head. You've got it in the article in front of you. So this dude is part of a tank crew and sound asleep at night. You know how your crew sleeps inside your vehicle when you're at night, so you're ready to go as soon as you know somebody says, hey, target acquired.
Right.
It's time to start sending rounds down range. So they're in their tank, sound asleep, and the emergency brake failed on the tank. Mm. And the tank starts rolling down a hill. And they were in Slovakia, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Tank starts rolling.
Specialist Ezra Mays.
Remember that name, folks. So, yeah, tank starts rolling down a hill, picks up speed. It's now doing 35 miles an hour down a hill. And it hits a tree, which stops it. This sends him into the gearing for the turret. Everybody's busted up. Everybody's broken. Everybody's, you know, all their phones are down. All their radios are down. They can't get a message out. No one knows because obviously there wasn't the sound of a running tank. It just rolled away in the middle of the night. Well, his leg was stuck in the gearing for the turret.
Mm.
And so he had to, in order to get people out of the tank, he pulled his leg the rest of the way off, amputating his leg, allowing for the rest of his crew to exit the vehicle.
Wow.
That's pretty crazy.
Right.
Remember that name, folks.
No pain meds. Nothing. No,
that dude literally ripped his own leg off.
Yeah.
That's just...
That's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the true meaning of vets helping vets.
To say that, yeah, soldiers helping soldiers. Exactly right. Yeah. Vets helping vets. You're exactly right. That dude took off his own leg. And he says, and he's quoted many times, it's the best thing that's ever happened to him.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, not... Man, that has to build.
Talk about pulling things into perspective. Yeah,
and it's too bad it was a training accident, because if something like that happened in wartime, I don't know. I'm not an officer. You as an NCO.
I am an NCO.
Would that even come close to like being a recipient of Medal of Honor or
no? So you have to be deployed for Medal of Honor. Yeah. But I mean, he sacrificed himself.
Yeah.
In the service of others.
Right.
So I believe in peacetime, that would be a soldier's medal.
Well, I was talking about, like, if he was in Iraq and Afghanistan,
oh, yeah,
and
that
this happened.
Yeah.
Would this be considered on the page?
Most likely. I would say probably. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Saved three crew members.
Right.
You know, I mean, gave up his leg to save three crew members. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You know, gunner, loader, and driver. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Brandy, our producer, she is going to do her best. We're going to try and get him on.
Wow. Yeah. At least by phone. At least.
That's what we're going to do.
Well, and he is a Colorado native, if you read the article.
Yeah. He's a Colorado native. He is stationed in Sam Houston.
Well, he is right now. Yeah, yeah. Going through recovery and all that stuff. Yeah.
Right.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah.
So
definitely want to get him on, and don't really have a whole lot of comments.
Well, if I look at the comments, there's Brandy.
Well, yeah.
She says that's wild.
It is wild. That is wild. And she said she's on the computer, Rob.
She's not texting and driving. Good on you, Brandy. Safety first. That's not true. Safety third.
Well, we don't really have a whole lot of participation, so we'll go in a third one. I didn't send you this article. But the one thing that I did want to touch base on, so this happened, I guess, a couple of months ago. I didn't know if we would have time to cover it. I think we're going to have time because there's not many people. Hey, what can I say? Monday Night Football, people just like Monday Night Football.
They must have heard who your backup guest was.
But...
well, tell me, give me the gist of the story. What is it?
So the gist of the story is an individual, and I even put it on my Facebook page, an individual came into the school to shoot some people up, which I don't think his intent was to shoot some people up, because it said that in the shotgun there was only one round, but there's a video of it to where the kid comes in a trench coat with a rifle. One bullet's locked in the chamber. Mm-hmm. He walks into the school, and he walks in pretty much at the same time as the football coach does.
Yep.
And the football coach, have you seen this? Or
oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't know how can anybody miss this article right about now?
And the football coach goes over, gives him a hug. The teacher comes up, takes the gun away. Mm-hmm. And he just keeps on hugging, and the student keeps on embracing.
Yep.
And, you know, he didn't go to jail.
No, he went to the hospital, I believe.
Yeah, he went to the hospital.
He's getting health care right now.
Yeah, he's getting health care. And, you know, I don't know if it was this show that I talked to you or if it was somebody else that I talked to, but, you know, I honestly, and I can't reiterate this, we have a mental health issue here in the United States, not a gun issue. It's a mental health issue, and there's people out there that don't have insurance,
mm-hmm,
that are hurting, and, you know, I have three insurances. You know, I've got the VA, I've got TRICARE, and I've got Medicare.
Okay.
So I've got three insurances.
Okay.
And when I tried to see a civilian psychiatrist, it took months.
Yeah.
To finally find somebody. Then when I went to him, he was more worried about what kind of insurance that I was paying with rather than helping me with my problem. And it was right after my mother had died. Because I was seeing the VA, the VA psych, I call him shrink because I can't ever pronounce it. But I was seeing the VA shrink for at least 2 weeks out of a month. And now it's dropped down to 1 week every 3 months.
Is that good? Are you getting
That's not good. But there's not really a whole lot that I can do. But, you know, I got the PTSD meds to kind of to help me. And then I started doing the radio show and started doing the DJing. And music is therapeutical.
Agree. And, I just started playing myself.
And me, you know, helping others, it does. It helps you.
It does.
You know, it takes some of the survivor guilt away. It takes some of the stress away. You know, when I tell you that I'm stressed about something, it's never really stressed about the show or how it runs. It's more stress involving, like, what am I preparing for? You know, how am I setting up traffic? It's stresses like that. It's not really the show that's stressful. It's the prep work around it. You know,
it's a thousand little needles.
Yeah, it's not the fun stuff. It's the not fun stuff. It's the work. You know, and oh, here we go. It's like it was a guardian angel that just pulled him from a moment of darkness. Even as a civilian with insurance, it's hard to find a good psychiatrist or therapist. A lot of them are in it for the money. And Brandy's exactly right. She's exactly right.
It's funny you say that like that, Brandy, because sitting at work today talking to a friend, his wife is a licensed clinical social worker, and she's having a challenge finding employment. So a social worker, they have to have a bachelor's degree, then you go and get your master's degree in social work, and then you do an internship. So a social worker essentially has 8 years of schooling under their belt. Same as a doctor. But yet when they start in their field, starting pay is like anywhere between $40,000 to $50,000. It's nothing. It doesn't cover 8 years of schooling. So, and to hear that she's a social worker trying to find help, trying to find work, and then you talk to people like you and I, and we know people that are trying to find the help.
Right.
And there's a huge gap there. They can't meet in the middle. And it's a huge failure. Huge failure, as evidenced by the story that you just read about the young man with the gun in the school.
Yeah, because I honestly, this is just what I think. I think that, you know, and one of my friends commented, he's like, you know, I carried a rifle to school, and we had like a rifle team, and I don't know why that's we'll just keep talking. For some reason, maybe the bandwidth isn't strong enough. I have no idea.
There's too many people watching is what it is.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
But when I you know, the internet, what when did you say the internet was invented? Probably like 97, 98 time frame.
Probably. Probably. Yeah, I met first computer in 97, 98.
So my friend, he graduated high school in 93, and he was telling me that, you know, when he graduated, when he was in high school, he didn't have all these issues that we were talking about. And I'm like, no, you're exactly right. You didn't, because the internet wasn't involved. I think all the shootings that have come and happen, I think it's because people are not being parents. They're too involved in the internet. They're too involved with Instagram. They're too involved with Facebook. And they're not sitting down and helping their children. They're not sitting down at dinner. Not a lot of families sit down at dinner together anymore.
Agreed.
There's some, but there's not a whole lot.
And even those families that are going through things like that, that do sit down and eat dinner together, they're facing similar challenges. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, teen suicide is at an all-time high. And it's, again, it's even for those families where they do sit down and dinner together. It is. It's not just the social media portion of it, although that others say that's a huge part of it.
I think it's the internet. I think that's the reason why our economy is hurting. You know, just prime example. Look, am I going to go over here to NFL.com and buy a $300 jersey, or am I going to go to the trailer to the side, you know what I'm talking about, and buy one for $50? I don't care if it's – hey, look here. I don't care if it's certified or not.
Yeah.
It's – I don't have money to pay, you know, $300-some dollars. And, you know, I love the commercial with Michael Irvin. They're like, you know – If it doesn't say NFL, it's not original, and it could be.
It's still a jersey, bro.
It's still a jersey.
Whether I got mine at Walmart or whether I got it at the NFL store, exactly. It still works perfectly.
Exactly, and it's not $300.
It still says Peyton Manning across the back of it, and he's the greatest quarterback ever. So I mean, you know,
right? Exactly. I think the internet has caused a lot of trouble. It's put a lot of people out of work.
So I'm a huge fan of Twitter. I spent a lot of time on Twitter.
Okay.
It's a double-edged sword. Yes, you can look at Paris Hilton's lunch. But it's also, I mean, if you think it through, we have all the world's information at our fingertips to share to everyone.
Right.
I follow a lot of physicians and PhDs and stuff like that in an effort to, because they have to get their stories and get their articles published. So they send them out by way of Twitter.
Right.
And you get some really good information by things like that. But you also get a glimpse into the dark side of our society.
Yeah.
A huge glimpse into the dark
and
side.
And I totally
of
agree. There's, but with anything, there's a plus and there's a negative.
Absolutely.
You know?
Doesn't one outweigh the other, though.
I honestly believe that, you know, all the shootings and stuff, you know, if we can learn as, you know, good humans to be good humans to other humans, use love and compassion, I don't think any of this stuff helps, you know? And look, when you bully other adults and your children see that, they're going to think it's okay, and then they're going to bully kids in school.
Oh, absolutely.
And then when those kids get bullied, that's what creates terrorists.
Our kids don't care what we say. They care what we see.
Exactly.
They see what we show them.
Yep. Exactly.
What we show them, if you show your kids that you open the door for your mom and open the car door for their mom and pull a chair out and yes, ma'am and no, ma'am, that's what they see. That's what they follow.
Right.
But if what they see is not that and you smacking people around, that's what they're going to follow. That's
exactly. Exactly.
They follow your example.
Let's see here. And there's Xander. Xander, hey, dude, we miss you, but he's keeping your thing warm. But hey, it's that time, everybody. We really appreciate the participation. It is that time, my favorite time. It is time for Tribute to Troops.
Tribute to Troops. Sponsored by High Style NXT. Custom quality furnishings and gifts with attitude.
This is an MBR moment of heroism.
Sir, I don't know how to tell this story.
Well, you got to, Joe. You tell the American people what these men did here. You tell them how my troopers died.
Hey everyone, this is Brandy with this week's tribute to the troops to honor Sergeant First Class Ellis A. Barreto Ortiz, 34, of Mavoras, Puerto Rico, who was killed in action in Afghanistan on September 5th, 2019. Ortiz was assigned to the 82nd Brigade Support Battalion, 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 82nd Airborne Division in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. The H-Train shows send their thoughts and prayers to Ortiz's family and friends during this difficult time.
Thank you.
right, everybody. Brandy, thank you so much for that tribute to the troops. It is that time. We're going to go on a music break. And when we come off that music break, it is the interview of the week with the nonprofit of the week. So whatever you do, stay with us. Don't go away. You're listening to the show that highlights all the nonprofit programs beyond the VA. It's the H-Train Show with Rob Williams.
Hi, my name is Sean Quigley. I'm the co-founder of the Wilmington, North Carolina Cape Fear chapter of Pets for Vets, and I listen to the H-Train Show.
Everybody, and we are back. You're listening to the show that highlights all the nonprofit programs beyond the VA. It's the H-Train Show. And today, our nonprofit of the week is none other than a group. This is very interesting, people, because this, I believe this is the first one that, first small nonprofit that not many have heard of. They're in New York, and he's on the line to tell us a little bit about it. We have Michael Fusco from Veterans Go Outdoors. And, Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show. I have to tell you, I'm kind of anticipating listening and hearing more about your nonprofit because – the only time that I've been to New York, I've hated it. It's so populated. When you go down the sidewalk, you can get stabbed and nobody knows. You know, I wanted to go to New York after Crocodile Dundee, and he wasn't lying when he said it was completely full. So thank you so much for giving us time and being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I look forward to this.
So the first question I got to ask you, Mike, is you don't mind if I call you Mike, do you?
No, that's great. That's
okay, all right. I figured it would be okay just as long as I didn't call you late for lunch. So tell me, how in the world did this nonprofit come up? Like, what inspired you? Are you prior military? Does that have a little bit of the notion of the background about it?
Yeah, truth be told, and full disclosure here, and I think that's super important and falls into our category and realm of the nonprofit world as well. It's just openness and honesty. And to be honest, I was active duty Coast Guard for 14 years. I did a tour in the Middle East, and when I came home, things were different. That was the big thing. I found myself some unhealthy outlets, and as a result, ended up in some dual diagnosis treatment facilities. And through that, I decided it's time to do something, help other people. Not everyone's getting the help they need. Well, I can help them a little bit, too. And what do I love to do? My two favorite things in the world are fly fishing and golf. And I grew up fly fishing, and as I joined the military, I got into golf. And found immense amount of stress and tension relieving properties in the two of them. So that's it. I just share my experience with golf and fly fishing with all the veteran community that I can possibly reach.
I think golf, correct me if I'm wrong, I think golf can eliminate stress if you're good. Because I know that when I hit the golf ball, like, you know, some people would go and say, oh, you know, I shot a 70 or I shot a 60 or I shot a 90. And when I got off the cart, when I got off the golf course, I'd be like, well, I only lost 18 balls this time. I was lousy. So, but I know exactly what you mean about the kind of like the PTSD effect. Because I explained it was, you know, when you go into golf, you know, you kind of hold your breath, you know, kind of like you're firing an M16, and you know, you do your follow through and hit that ball, and it's almost like it's you know you're squeezing the trigger, you feel that explosion going up, you know, that and you have to, because I took my dad out golfing one time, and I tried to explain to him that you can hit the ball if you want to get it up in the air and far, you have to relax. So, you know, he's like straight muscling it, you know, and it looks like he's throwing a fish out to sea. That's how stiff he was. And I'm like, you got all the basics. You just, you got to relax. So I totally understand the PTSD and the relaxing, the eliminating stress part of it. Now, this outdoors program that you have started up, is golf on one of those programs, or are you mainly, all right, let's get your rifle, let's go shoot some deer? I mean, what do you do?
Good question. Up until this point, and when I say this point, I mean like right now, even up until right now, in our 2 years since inception, we have done strictly fly fishing events. We have put on numerous events throughout the country, from North Carolina to Maine to Colorado and everything in between.
Oh, okay.
And we target the local veteran small communities that aren't necessarily getting the help they can get. And we're going there and just taking them fly fishing, giving them a weekend that is completely free to them other than their travel costs to and from. So typically in the past, all of our trips have been fly fishing centric. I have gone to many locations throughout the nation, like I said, including Colorado, North Carolina, and Maine, and a lot in between. And we typically do strictly fly fishing and spend a weekend together. However, now we're breaking into the golf community as well. I found immense therapeutic nature in golf if approached from the right angle. People are afraid to approach the game because they're worried they're going to be terrible. And in fact, we're all terrible when we start, and that's okay. It's about each individual shot and just honing the aspects of what makes such a good soldier that we love, and using that energy that they have turned on but haven't found an avenue to turn it off. It's not about turning it off. It's about using it in healthy ways. And golf's a good way to use it. There's a lot of focus, drive. There's kinetic energy buildup and release of the energy. Just a lot of features that soldiers are used to, just using it in a different world. So we're adding that to our repertoire of tools to help veterans as well.
Yeah, you know, I love golf. You know, I'm terrible at golf. Some people they go to the golf range, come off of the course, they tell people, yeah, you know, I shot a 60 or I shot a 70 or I shot a 90. I say that I only lost 18 balls this time. So I totally know what you mean by the whole golf thing, because you have to. Kind of release your stress to be able to hit the ball. My dad's a perfect example. He can hit the ball, but it doesn't go very far and it doesn't go high up because he looks like he's throwing a fish back out to sea because he's not relaxing. He's so stiff. So that's great what you guys are doing about the golf thing. And, you know, make sure that your flyer, that you send that to our producer so that we can distribute that out and, you know, get the word out. Because I know that we have a lot of listeners in the North Carolina area that might like to do the golf. Our title sponsor, not one of the nonprofits that are our big title sponsor. I don't mention the nonprofit because it kind of takes the spotlight away from you. But our title sponsor, we have a golf tournament fundraiser October 18th. And we've been getting that information out. We've been distributing that. So just make sure you get that info, and we'll keep ripping that information on our website, on our social media. I think what you're doing is great. Now, have you started a golf event in New York?
So that's kind of funny. You would think that typically I would want to start in my local area and then branch out from there with the ease. I actually find if I've got a concept, I believe in it. I believe in things super heavily and just want to share them with people. One of the things I believe in is golf, and how I'm testing it is I'm throwing it to the fire. I've got a trip already planned. We're already going to North Carolina, October 12th weekend. We're already doing all that. And I think the best way to test this theory is just to throw it to the fire and try to make it happen there and see if it takes hold there. And with the guests that we have, the participants for that event that are already coming, it's met with great response. They're all excited to do it as well.
Well, yeah. I don't know anybody that doesn't like golf. I don't know anybody that has went on a golf course and said, oh, no, this is lousy, this is terrible. Now, there's a huge difference between playing golf and watching golf, because I think we both can agree watching golf is as fun as watching paint dry. You know, it's very boring, you know. The birdie comes in.
I can respect that for the non-golf fan.
Yes,
sure.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they've opened a business here in Colorado that is going. It's huge. I don't know if they have it in New York. I don't know if it's national. I never really look into it. But there's a company here called Top Golf, where you.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. And, you know, to be honest with you, I think that might be the future of golf. You know why? Because we're lazy. We don't want to walk. We don't feel like, you know, sitting there driving. You can do 18 holes right there and, you know, in less than 45 minutes. You know,
exactly.
you can't do a golf game, 18 holes, in less than 5 hours. Let's be honest.
And, I mean, honestly, there's no reason that through our events we can't just take people to Top Golf, introduce them to the game, show them the healthy outlet of the shot, making shots, and have a good time. Just about having people, in the veteran community, engage in healthy alternatives to the struggles for military-related stressors, right. You know, and we're all out here. We're trying to help each other, and that's what it's about. As a fellow veteran, I just want to help people in the only way I know how.
Right. Right. No, I totally agree with you. I totally respect what you guys are doing. I think it's great. I honestly, when I asked you if you had any events in New York, I thought what you was going to say is, well, Ace Train, you said that you've been to New York. Have you tried to fly into Leginian before? It's a mess. It's hectic. It's chaos. You know, why would we even have an event if it's like that? That's what I thought you was gonna say.
Hey, be surprised. My very first event I ever hosted was actually up in my hometown outside of Bath, New York, where I grew up, and up from the city, beautiful. New York is gorgeous, has a lot to offer, amazing fly fishing, amazing golfing. The PGA Tour comes here. Many of the most prolific and profound trout fishing streams on the planet are located in New York as well, right in the Catskill Mountains.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
However,
yeah, I avoid the hustle and bustle as much as I can.
I think everybody does. Let's be honest. I think
yeah, right.
I think everybody does. It's you know, sometimes, you know, Life's just so stressful anymore, you know, like busy wise, you know. Whenever you talk to somebody, you know, you haven't seen for, you know, a long time, and you're like, how are you? You know, you're expecting them to, you know, tell you what's new with them. I guess we should, as a society, say, hey, what's new, instead of, hey, you know, how you been? Because whenever you say, how you been, everybody's like, oh, just busy. Just busy. Well, I know you're freaking busy, dude. Tell me what's new, you know?
We fail to engage in those basic conversations anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, we have Facebook, you know, and I mean, I've got some friends. Everybody's got that one person on Facebook that feels like they have to do a selfie every single day, and you get tired of seeing a selfie. Okay, I get it. You think you're beautiful. You like it. I got it, you know. It's almost as bad as people taking care of, you know, taking a picture of their food. Today I'm having blah, 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 you know. It's like, I rarely get on Facebook anymore. And when I do get on Facebook, I mean, let's be honest. Facebook, social media, if you're not promoting, you're bragging. You know, hey, look at this. You know, I swear I saw one of my friends put a Facebook post on there a couple of days ago that got her little toddler a shirt that said, I pooped today. You know, and honestly, that's probably the best shirt that I've ever seen, ever. Like, I even want a shirt that said, I pooped today. But to have a shirt and post something on social media, hey, my 6-year-old pooped today. Really?
It's very indicative, huh?
Yeah.
Of the current times.
You know, and I'm to blame too for it, because for some reason we like to think that we've got a bunch of followers watching our every move, checking us out, checking our life out, like they're interested. And 9 times out of 10, when you get on Facebook, the reason why you're commenting is because that moment when you're on the crapper checking your Facebook, bam, right there, you see their post, and then you'll, like, comment. You don't really necessarily see their wall or their post every single day. It's how Facebook has it. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, that's my interpretation on Facebook. You know, talking about social media, while I have you and while we're on that subject, tell me, what's your website and what is your social media platforms out there?
Yeah, great question, H-Train. So we do have a website. It's www.veteransgooutdoors.org. And on that website, I got to warn you, we're currently under construction. Unlike other people, we keep our website live and published while we do our construction as well. Just some of the pages might be a little bit off from normal. However,
okay,
we do have a website. We utilize Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as well at Veterans Go Outdoors. So anybody can follow us. If anybody's skeptical to this process and, you know, the nature of it, try us out. Just use us. It's free. Come on a trip, and I guarantee you'll fall in love and you'll be back, just like many others have. So good thing, and we just want to share it with the world.
Awesome. Now, just so you know, my listeners are hearing it. It's just how it is. I think it's the, my network, my internet. I don't know, but it's very flaky. So, all my listeners, I apologize for that. But you know, it's good information. Now, one of the questions that I get from my veterans every time they hear about a nonprofit is, this is great, H-Train. I love what they're doing, but only one problem. do I qualify? Do they have to have a percentage with the VA? Do they just have to have a DD-214? Do they have to have a visual injury to get ahead of the line? What are your guys' requirements or guidelines?
Well, I guess I'd respond to that question with a question.
Okay.
What benefit do I get out of someone requiring to have an injury? That's my thing, is what benefit do I get from that? In reality, the only person who requires an injury or something is someone who's requiring a benefit to hosting the event, and I have no stake in it. I want to share it with everyone.
Right.
Veterans come in many shapes and forms. Not everyone was combat deployed, but not everyone also has PTSD from combat. However, they can have military-related stressors that need some assistance. So we require nothing.
Okay.
And I've been confronted with this as well. I went on a trip, and people were asking, do I need to give you my DD-214 or whatever? And to be honest with you, my response was exactly how I feel today. If someone's coming out here and stealing valor to get on a free fly fishing trip, they probably need it as well. So I don't worry about all that.
Okay. All right. Good to know. And I will tell you that, you asked a question. I'll answer it fruitly, because that's one thing that I do on the show, and that's why some people like to listen, is because they never know what's going to come out of my mouth next. I kill you with truth. I spit with truth. A lot of nonprofits do that, at number one, because they're, supply and demand. They want to get, they make sure the combat injured and the disabilities, go there first before they take on anybody else. And the biggest reason why a lot of nonprofits do the whole visual injury and disabilities is because, hey, let's be honest here. In society, if you're at a golf outing, if you have a normal guy sitting there up there telling you his story, saying that he's got TBI and PTSD, and you have an amputee up there or a guy in a wheelchair up there telling you your story, they're going to be more wanting to the pull at the heartstrings to donate to that visual injury than they are the normal person, normal looking person. That's just how it is. And unfortunately, me and you, we're not going to stop that fable or that issue. We're not going to stop it in our lifetime. That's just how it is. That's just how people are, Go ahead.
I give great respect to the permanently disabled and everyone. I'll accommodate everyone. I will go out of my way to accommodate anyone, in wheelchair, whatever,
right,
to make it happen. However, there's a vast majority of military members, prior service members, who are not permanently disabled, who also struggle. I mean, one question I would have is, I don't know. I'm just off the top of my head.
Right.
I would assume that there might not be a huge correlation to the 22 a day, you know what I mean? And combat injuries, So I think the realm there is.
And I'm glad that you brought that up.
Just permanently disabled.
I'm glad you brought that up, because there's a lot of people that ask me about that. We did a show on that. We did a statistic on that. 85% of the you have to understand that the 22 vets a day, they're not just including Iraq veterans. They're including Vietnam veterans as well. And we both can agree that Vietnam veterans, they got really forgotten compared to Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. You know, they're finally,
I can agree with that.
They're finally getting the acknowledgement that they deserve, but you know, look how many years it took, you know. Mm-hmm. They pulled for us, and you know, we kind of pulled for them as well. But, you know, that's just how it is. But 85% of the 22 veterans a day are PTSD and TBI. 10% of the 22 veterans a day are TBI, PTSD that don't have jobs or they're homeless. And then I believe there's like... I can't do my math. It's either like 5 or 6% of the 22 a day are visually impaired. Like they're amputee yeah. or in a wheelchair or something like that. But I'll tell you, the biggest 22 veterans a day, you know, look, you can keep those push-ups on social media. Do those push-ups because guess what? Those push-ups ain't going to do anything. If you want to help a vet, you reach out to that vet before they get to that red flag on Facebook.
Yeah.
But you know, if people really want to do something for the 22 a day, find a vet that you see that's on the side of the street or that doesn't have a home. Take them out. Take them eat. One meal ain't going to kill you. You can take out 20 minutes on your lunch break, get to know them. You might understand them instead of, you know, kind of, you know, giving them the evil eye, flicking them off, and they're like, oh, you're just panhandling, you know. Find out about them.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Right. Exactly. And I'm one to talk. I want to talk because I've done that. But I did that one time, and I was really surprised. I took them to Little Caesars and got them a pizza, and I asked them if they needed anything, and they only wanted one thing, Mike. And guess what that one thing was? They wanted a good pair of socks.
That makes big sense.
That's it.
I mean, we know we need socks.
they wanted socks to keep their feet warm at night because they'll take Walmart bags or trash bags, put it around their feet, and then take the socks and then put over it.
Yeah. All right. That's heartbreaking, heart-wrenching for sure.
Yeah. So. Well, hey, I tell you what, it is, it's that time. Hopefully we don't get cut off this time again, right? It is that time, Mike. It is the last question that I was warning you about. It is your time to shine. Mike, maybe I didn't ask you the right question or set you up to answer, you know, the question in the way you wanted to. And there's something that we didn't get on this interview that there's you just want to add. You got the next 2-minute platform to say whatever you would like to add so that my listeners know, my veterans know. What you offer?
All right, 2 minutes.
Yep, go ahead.
All right, so with 2 minutes, here's what I'll say. At Veterans Go Outdoors, we provide an outdoor experience to all types of veterans. We would love for you to just drop us a line, come meet us on social media, and check us out. If we're not for you, I understand. If we are for you, just give us a heads up, and we can accommodate you in any way. We're always here. I'll shoot you a personal message anytime you need as well. And that's all I got to say. I mean, I guess with the other minute, you can go on social media and check us out as well.
All right, awesome. Well, everybody, if you missed it, that's okay. You can check out the podcast once the show goes off the air tonight. We had the luxury of talking to Michael Fusco. He is the founder of Veterans Go Outdoors in New York City. So if you're in New York, make sure you look them up. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, thank you very much, H-Train. I had a great time.
Stay on. I'll talk to you on the other side. All right, everybody. So we had that was a great interview. Rob, you listened to it. I'm sure you learned a lot.
I did. Fly fishing and golf.
Yeah. Yeah. And I still am terrible
at both.
Golf. Yeah. Yeah. Terrible at golf.
But the thing is that you don't have to be good at those things to enjoy them.
No, if you can afford golf balls, because I lost like 8. I still hold the record at Common Ground for losing golf balls during a tournament. It was like 80. And, yeah, I'm really bad.
Hey, you and I have golf together. I get it, man. I remember. I'm equally as bad.
But I was good at the Top Golf, though. I was good there. It's you know, there's a difference between hitting the big hole and hitting the little hole. I can't hit the little hole. I can hit the big hole, but not the little hole.
I feel like there's an Office reference in here somewhere.
Right. But hey, we want to thank Mike for his time. And everybody, it's that time. We're going to go on a music break. The show's almost over, but when we come back, we're going to be talking about what the moment. What do you do when a football coach runs up the score on another team? Well, you're going to find out what this high school or peewee team did to them. Stay tuned. You're listening to the show that highlights all the nonprofit programs beyond the VA. It's the H-Train Show with Rob Williams.
Okay, yes. My name is Ben Barto. I'm the owner of Barto Antler Knives and the founder and president of the Horns for Heroes Foundation that we adopted about 3 years ago, and also the owner of BartoWorld.com. And you're listening to the H-Train Show.
Hey, those are cool tats, man.
Oh, all right, and we are back, and you're listening to the show that highlights all the nonprofit programs out there beyond the VA. It's the H-Train Show. And if you we're gonna try this one more time. I think people are watching football.
So if your team is not playing tonight,
yeah.
If your team is not playing tonight and you are listening to us,
feel free to give
us a text. Engage in the conversation. We'd like to involve you.
720-619-0627. Now, if something is haywire and we don't know it, maybe there's something faulty in the system. You can
maybe
also,
we're not good at this.
Yeah. Or that. You can also email us at htrainshow. No hyphens, no nothing. It's just htrainshow@mbradio.us. You can send us an email. Let us know your comment. That will come right. That will come right to my phone if something's haywire. So you know, I think we sound great.
I look amazing right now.
Right? You know, it's
like the eyebrows.
It's like Ron Burgundy. Where is it? Where is that? You're better at this than I am with the I can't find it. It's somewhere.
What are you talking about, dog?
It's Ron Burgundy.
Let's hear it. Come on. How does he say it? I want to hear it. Let's hear your Ron Burgundy imitation.
I'm kind of a big deal. You know. You know what? Really. Okay.
And no, we have not been drinking, ladies and gentlemen, because in Joel's new studio,
there's no Kool-Aid.
Yeah, there's no Kool-Aid. He didn't tell me that before when he texted me this evening and said, hey, can you help me out tonight?
Maybe
that wasn't part of the conversation.
Maybe that's what I need to put on top of the box that I come over here like a little cooler, you know. Mm. I can just see that, you know. Down the road and like Bud Light's
right.
coming out of the cooler.
I could have stopped by the Kool-Aid store on the way here. But yeah.
It's hilarious. But, you know, I tell you, one thing that does aggravate me, which is kind of funny.
Co-host.
But it's just how it is. No. Okay, so, you know, our show, our network station, it helps veterans.
Yeah.
You know? And Stolen Valor kind of, you know, it tears people down for stealing valor.
Yep.
There's more likes and more followers on that page compared to more likes and followers on our page.
I never equate likes and followers to dollar signs or feedback. I, as you are aware, I do a lot of marketing for different companies by way of social media, and I have to explain to them that, you know, 38 likes does not make $38. It's not how you make money, but it helps to spread your stuff around. People know who H-Train Radio is, especially people in Colorado, and people know what MBR is. People know. So yeah, I wouldn't equate that. That's just my humble opinion.
Okay.
I wouldn't equate it to feedback. Now, the fact that your text line is not blowing up right this second. Now that could equate to something.
Right? Maybe
he's
we need
checking
a new
it again.
Phone system.
Let's refresh that
Maybe
feed
we need a
little.
Phone system, right? Refresh it.
I'm refreshing it again. Mom, are you not hearing this?
Well, I think the show has went great. I think it has went excellent. And I thank you so much.
No, dude, I appreciate you having me.
Because it's kind of hard to do a show by myself. I'm not too entertaining. And so when Xander's told me that he was sick, I'm like, oh, you know. And I hope he feels better. But I'm going to tell everybody now. I've invited Rob to come here again next Monday. And, you know, hey, look, if we have four people on the show, five people on the show, hey, fine.
I get it. The first three people you text were like, hell no, I ain't coming on your radio show.
With that being said, everybody, it is time for the What the Moment.
Those are cool tats, man.
Oh, for real. Thank you, bro. You see the cobra?
And what is this one?
Oh, this?
Uh-huh.
That's my credo. No regrets.
Mm-hmm. You have no regrets?
Dad?
No.
Like, not even a single letter?
No way. Not me.
Well, I love him. I think he's great.
Okay.
I think he's a real winner, Casey. If I were you, I wouldn't use protection.
What the?
I love that soundbite.
I love that movie. That movie is hysterical.
No, right? I know. I can watch it over and over and over again. And it used to be like that with The Hangover. And I don't know why, but when they made Hangover 2 and Hangover 3, it really lost my interest in watching Hangover 1 again. Sequels just aren't a good.
So through high school, the TV show Friends was extremely popular. And I think you and I had this conversation the last time I was on your show. Jennifer Aniston.
Yes.
She makes that movie, dude.
Yeah, she does.
And she's what, 50 years old now?
Yeah, she still looks good.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Absolutely stunning.
Yeah, I made a list. My wife made a list. That was one woman that I told my wife that I would leave her for if she ever showed up at the front door naked.
Knocked on the front door. I'm a huge fan of your radio program.
Right.
Take me now, Joel.
Yeah.
I don't have one of those lists. I don't have one of those lists. I also don't have a radio program. So there you go. I have no fears of Jennifer Aniston knocking on the front door.
All right. So the What the Moment, Rob, tell us about it.
So correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
This is the one with the coach that ran up the score?
Yes.
So I didn't get to read the article, so you'd have to tell me more about it. But from what I understand, it was a coach is being fined for – did you just reach for your cigarettes, bro?
No.
A coach is being fined because he ran up the score
during
a football game.
He's being fined $500. The volunteer youth football coach is about to be fined $500 because his team scored too much.
We've all been there, scored too much.
Right.
How many times have I said that?
Right.
So, I mean, do you know where did this happen? If this isn't a sad sight as to – and if this isn't an insight as to where our nation is headed, I'm sorry, you're too good at this. Right. We're going to have to fine you for it. I mean, this is where our nation is headed.
Yeah, it is. Or, hey, he got a first place trophy. Well, we're going to give you a trophy too, so don't worry about it.
Uh-huh. I agree completely, man. I get it. God, it seems like you and I have these conversations every once in a while.
It just comes up. We're reading these articles. No, I know exactly what you mean because last time you came on the show, we're kind of revisiting
the
same subjects. But you know that's what's in the news. You know, I mean, look, we can sit here and take pictures of our food and post it on Instagram and Facebook,
and
talk about it,
and okay? I do,
and let our listeners vote for what they want to talk about. Mm-hmm. But this is real stuff that is
actually happening.
That's actually happening, and you know. I want to give
someone in a leadership position made that decision. Someone looked at that score and went like, that's not right. That shouldn't be like that.
Right.
This guy deserves to pay for that. And they charged that volunteer coach
who's
giving of his time, effort, and resources.
Right.
That dude could be sitting at home on his couch watching X-Files reruns, but instead he's out there mentoring children.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the age group was for that story.
And I tell you what, for the people out there, I get it. If you're a coach and you're just running up the score, you know, NFL is totally different. This is youth we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
NFL is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
They're learning. If a score says like 45, 50, 52 to nothing and it's youth pee wee league, guess what? You know what? They're learning to lose. And some people in this world, they don't know how. They don't know how to learn. They don't know how to lose.
Because there is an art to losing as well.
Right.
There's a grace. There's a lesson there.
Right, exactly. You have to learn how to lose, and you have to learn how to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was in high school, I don't know if – I'm sure it was the same way, but after the game, even if you got beat like 50 to nothing, you still – went across the hand and shook hands.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Yes, it sucks. Yes, the parents can be upset with the kids. Yes, the kids are going to cry. But guess what? You can only shield your kids so long. They've got to learn how to win graciously, and they have to learn how to lose graciously. And for them to find a coach for running up the score –
Again, I didn't get to read the article, so I really can't comment intelligently. But my question is, was there rules laid out beforehand that there was a mercy rule?
I don't know. I don't know.
And if there was, and he violated that mercy rule, that's one thing. However, that's not the way I'm understanding it from what I'm being told.
Now, it just says the coach of the football team, the Conshocking Gold Bears.
Say that name again. I just want to hear you say it again.
Conshocking Gold Bears. Team is up 30-0 during a game. A five-year-old scored a touchdown, putting the team up more than 30 points, breaking the league's rule. Oh.
So there it is.
So it is. And breaking the league's rule. Williams' brother-in-law, Torrey Smith, criticized the potential punishment in a tweet that went viral. And, you know, today's story of we are building weak children. The youth football team in my wife's hometown had a game today. They won 36-0. They don't allow you to score. They don't allow you to win by 31 points without some type of punishment. The head coach is now suspended for 2 games and fined $500.
So there was a mercy rule.
There is a mercy rule. Now, since I read that and then the mercy rule, there's rules to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that they're right, but now your team, those individuals that you're teaching to win, now they look at their coach and say, oh, rules don't matter.
There's that. So I'm of the opinion, I have two children, both teenagers, okay, that have played sports their whole life, but multiple sports. And I firmly believe that sports teaches our children things that we can't possibly teach them as parents. They learn things that we can't ingrain in them. And that,
exactly.
And it is how to lose. And it also teaches them things like mercy. And so after reading that, now you reading the article online or out loud, it teaches. So like, for example, when my kid was playing hockey, if they were just shredding the other team, coach, you would switch your lines. Now it's the time to start changing up your lines,
right,
trying different things. Now it's the time to experiment so that you're not running up the score, change your goalies out, whatever the case may be. But just to switch things up a little bit, to obviously what you're doing normally works. Now it's time to change that up a little bit. Mercy is a part of sports, and it is a part of being a human being.
Yeah, exactly. And my whole thing, I was all for the coach, and now that I've read that last bit of detail, now being fined, I see kind of a problem with that.
Yeah.
With the fine. Suspended, I could see that, two game suspension, that's nothing, especially if your team is beating another team by 30 points.
Yeah.
Coach, I'm sorry, but they don't need you. Hello.
Yeah.
Well,
and therein lies the opportunity. That is a shining example. That is a time for, if you're up 30 to nothing or whatever, 30 points up, as a coach, take a step back, let one of your other coaches coach the rest of the game.
Exactly. That's the reason why in the NFL I get so upset when they run up the score, because look, if they're up by like 35-0, chances are they're not going to come back. So
especially if it's our Broncos, bro.
Yeah, put in your rookies. I was looking for the backup Kansas Chiefs when they were playing the Broncos the other night.
Yep.
I was looking up.
Nobody knew who that dude was until that moment.
The backups were in there now, It's like, well, put your backups in. They are in, you know? So, well, hey, Rob, it's been great, man. It is that time. It is the 2-minute warning.
5-5-4-4-3-3-2-1. We have ignition. Strap in.
It's the 2-minute warning.
2-minute warning.
What we learned today.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Sponsored by Common Ground Golf Course in Colorado. A place for all and all the game teaches.
All right. There, real quick, 2-minute warning. What did you learn today, Rob?
That Joel will text anyone when he needs somebody.
Come on.
Desperation is a powerful tool.
Come on. You're great, man.
Headlines, headlines are there to catch your attention. So like you talked about with that, coach, if you read a little deeper into the story, what do you know? There was an actual rule that he was violating.
Yeah.
So you? What about you?
Kind of the same thing, but I would say, don't judge a book by its cover. If there is an individual in school that is looking strange or kind of avoiding other students or kind of sitting by himself, be that shining light and go and sit with them, find out what's on their mind, because instead of being a statistic tomorrow, you could be a resolution today.
Look at you. You're a pacifist. I had no idea.
With that being said, everybody, it is that time. It is time for us to leave the show. Yes, that's the show for today, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with an all-new show. And remember, you can listen to us again and again. The podcast of the radio show is available right after we get off the air tonight. And remember, we are here for you, not for us, giving our veterans a voice.